Today's daf is daf mem dalid, and we're going to begin with Esve, which is approximately 10 lines down from the top. And the Gemara now is going to ask Akasha on Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said that in the case where he had a Talmud, Nehemiah, who was stuck outside of his tchum, on Shabbos he organized a posse of anoshim, of human beings, to create a human mechitza on Shabbos. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak raises the following objection in front of Rava to Rav Nachman's ruling. And that's based on the following brisa. Nafal dofna, we're talking about a dofen of a sukkah that fell b'yontif, o b'shabbos. And now he wants to set up a dofen to replace the dofen that fell on Shabbos so that he could have a kosher sukkah. And the Braisa rules, lo yamid ba adam behema v'kelim. He cannot replace the dofen that fell by setting up a person or an animal or, for that matter, utensils. V'lo yizkov es hamita lifros oleo sadin. Nor is he allowed to set up his bed. He has a bed that's flat on the ground, and he wants to pick it up and lift it, and then cover it over with a beautiful sheet, and that would form a mechitza. And all this is prohibited, even for the sake of mitzvah sukkah, on yontif or on Shabbos. Lefisha ein osim ha'oel aroy b'tchila b'shabbos or b'yontif. We don't create an ohel out of nothing if it didn't pre-exist. There are two categories here. There's creating an ohel that didn't exist before, and there's something called mosif ala ohel, where you have a pre-existing ohel and you just want to expand it, you want to add to it. And this braisa codifies the halacha that ein osim ohel aroy b'tchila, even a temporary aroy. Now, this is a big chiddush, because obviously to create an ohel on Shabbos from naught would be a violation of meleches bone, and that would be also even on yontif. However, here it's an ol aroy, and on a deraisa level, we need, for a violation of a biblical chatos of chil Shabbos, we need what's called a melacha hamiskayemes, which is a permanent melacha. Here he's only doing it on a temporary basis. How long is it going to last until after Sukkos, and then he'll take apart this dofen? But nevertheless, it's an ohel. He's creating an ohel by completing the sukkah. It's aroy, it's only on a temporary basis, but nevertheless, it's prohibited. And therefore, if that be the case, how could it be that Rav Nachman was matir to Rav Chisda, when Rav Chisda was one who asked the question, to create a mechitza of human beings for the sake of this Talmud named Nehemiah on Shabbos itself? After all, we don't create an ohel, even if it's a temporary one, mitchila, from scratch, neither on yontif and certainly not on Shabbos. Amale, so let's just see where we're up to. We're now on Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis. We're up to Rava's answer to defend the psak of Rav Nachman, and this is the answer that Rava is going to give to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, and we'll see this parallel to Tosus Divya Maskel Kidei. Omalei At Amersli Meha, you're asking me a question from that particular braisa that indicates you're not allowed to create a new ohel, a new mechitza, even if it's temporary on Shabbos. I know, I mean, but yet I can defend Rav Nachman's ruling based on a different braisa. And in fact, it's a contradiction between two braisos. And now we're going to quote a second braisa to prove that you're allowed to create a mechitza on Shabbos as long as it's temporary in nature. And the braisa reads, Ose Adam Es chavero dofen, kidei sheyochal v'yishtev v'yishen ba. A person on Sukkos, in order to replace a dofen that fell, is permitted to set up a human being to serve as a dofen. And this is to fulfill the mitzvah of Sukkah, which is primarily made up of three parts, Achila, Shasiyah, and Shena, and sleeping. There, and furthermore, Yizkof is Hamita. He's allowed to set up a bed that's flat on the ground and straighten it out vertically to replace that dofen of the Sukkah that fell, and then cover over this bed with a beautiful sheet. Kidei shelo tipol hachama ala mes v'ala ochlin. And he can create this machitza, and in addition to the possibility of creating a sukkah kshera, in a case where one of the dofnei sukkah fell, he's also allowed to do this in order to protect against the sun. For example, supposing there's a corpse and the sun is going to cause decomposition and it's going to cause sirachon. Well, for example, he has a lot of food that's stuck under the sun during a hot summer day and the food is going to spoil. So what he could do is he could create a dofen to protect from the sun. And this dofen is made of a human being, and you're allowed to do this on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So you're asking me a kashma of raisa that prohibits it. Here I have a raisa that explicitly permits it. You're allowed to create an oel on Shabbos as long as it's an oel aroi, it's only temporary in nature. So Rav Nachman, in his ruling, that he set up this human mechitza on a temporary basis, of course, around Nechemya to allow him to come michutz l'tchum into the tchum, he was relying on the second braisa. So you can't ask him a kashin from the first braisa. So the Gemara says, but at the end of the day, kashin adadi, is there any way of reconciling these two braisos? So the Gemara says, lo kasha ha Rabbi Eliezer ha Rabbanan. The issue of creating on Shabbos or Yom Tov an ol aroi is in fact a debate between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer is mekil. He allows you to create an ol aroi, a temporary ol on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and the Rabbanan prohibited. So that brisa which permitted setting up this machitza on Shabbos or Yom Tov reflects the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, whereas the brisa that prohibits it, that we quoted earlier as an objection against Rav Nachman, who allowed a human mechitza to be set up on Shabbos, that reflects the sheet of the Rabbanon. Disnan, we learned in a Mishnah, this at the very end of Masechet Shabbos, Pkak HaChalon, they used to have windows, and they used to have shutters. The shutters were not directly attached to the window like we have today. In those days, you had a string or rope that would connect to the shutter, and when it was time to close and shutter up your window, you would lift up the shutter and you would close the window. That's called pokekin es hachalon. And the problem is that by setting up this shutter and closing up that window, you are creating a binyan, you are completing an ohel. And Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says that we're only going to allow this if two conditions are met. And what are these two conditions? So I just want to make sure I said the right thing before in terms of Rabbi Eliezer Rabbanan, in case I made a mistake, just in case, because I don't remember exactly what I said. Rabbi Eliezer is going to be the braisa that prohibits it. And that was the braisa that we asked and raised as an objection to the psak of Rav Nachman to create the human mechitza. Rabbanan are going to be more permissive. And that was the second braisa that we quoted that allows you to create a replacement for a dofen of a sukkah with a human mechitza, with an animal, with a keli, with a utensil, etc. So Rabbi Eliezer is going to be the machmir. Why? He's going to require two conditions to be met. Number one, bisman shu kashur. And number two, vitolui. We're only allowed to shutter up a window on Shabbos according to Rabbi Eliezer if, number one, the shutter itself is connected to the window with a kesher. That's called kashur. So there's a chevel, there's some sort of a rope that connects it. Number two, it's got to be tolui, which means that this rope has to be a very short kind of a rope such that the shutter is suspended in midair. As long as it's suspended in midair, it's considered part of the structure of the building. It's not a separate item. Whereas if you would use a longer rope, that was attached to the shutter, such that the shutter is now dragging on the ground, that looks like it's a separate entity, which you're adding to the pre-existing structure of the building, and therefore you're being what we call mosif ala binyan, and that's prohibited. V'imlav ein pokekimbo. So we're talking about something that even though it's aroy, it's only temporary, because you're going to shutter it, and then you're going to take off the shutter. Nevertheless, Rabbi Eliezer prohibits it, because it's similar to meleches bona. It looks like bona. Bona, of course, would have to be a permanent structure. This is a temporary structure. But nevertheless, it looks enough, it's similar enough to meleches bona that the Rabbanan prohibited it, because he's adding to an oil by adding the shutter. Unless, again, the shutter is almost attached to the window. It's just, it's hanging on a very short leash. V'chachom omrim ben kach pokekimbo. Whether or not it's tied to the window, or even if it's tied to the window, it's dragging on the ground, it's not tolui, it's not in midair, in all cases, you're allowed to use this shutter to close up your window on Shabbos. And the Gemara now understands that the machlokas here between Rabbi Eliezer and Chachamim is about asiyas ol aroy, to create an oil, which is only temporary on Shabbos. Rabbi Eliezer prohibits it, Chachamim are permissive. And we're going to say that the machlokas between the two brises that we saw before really is identical to this machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer, who's machmir, and he asks it, and the Chachamim are mekil and matir. So the Gemara rejects this, based on a statement of Rabbi Barachon, of Itmar Allah, Rabbi Barachon Omar, Rabbi Yochanan, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, I call modim she'ein osim ol aroy b'tchila b'yantiv. Even the Chacham would agree that if you're creating a brand new ohel that didn't exist before yantiv, even if that ohel is temporary in nature, it's prohibited. V'ein tzorach lom b'Shabbos goes without saying that it's also on Shabbos. V'lo nechluku el ala hosiv. The machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim is whether we take this a step further. And even if you have a pre-existing OL, you're not creating a brand new OL, like our case of Stimas Chalon, where he's plugging up the hole of the window with this shutter. He's not creating a brand new wall to his building. He's just adding to the pre-existing structure. Rabbi Eliezer omen emosif and beyond the Tzorach Lom B'Shabbos. Rabbi Eliezer is machmir not only in a case where you created ex nihilo, an OL aroy, but even if you had the OL there, and you're adding to the OL. So there are two reasons to be lenient. Number one, you're adding to a pre-existing OL, and number two, you're only doing it on a temporary basis aroy. Nevertheless, Rabbi Eliezer prohibits it. It's too similar to meleches bona. The Chachamim mosif and b'Shabbos ain't tzorach lom b'yontif. Chachamim allow you to be mosif on an OL, since it already pre-exists on Shabbos or Yontif. And that's why pokim b'chalon, because you already have a pre-existing binyan, and you're just being mosif to the binyan. Now, if that be the case, we're really in trouble with Rav Nachman's ruling. Rav Nachman allowed creating a mechitza from human beings to surround his Talmud Nechemiah, and this was creating a brand new OL. It wasn't like he was adding to some OL. So now we're stuck to try to understand Rav Nachman. And not only that, we're still stuck with the contradiction between the two brisos as to whether or not you're allowed to set up this dofen to replace the sukkah dofen that fell with either a human being, etc. And lokasha ha kirabi meir ha kirabi yehuda. We have to introduce another machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. And based on this machlokas that we're about to present, we can now reconcile the contradiction between those two braisa. The sanya we learned to the braisa, asa'a lebehema dofen lasukka. A man needed another wall for his sukkah, so he used an animal and set it up as a wall. Is Rabbi Meir posel? Rabbi Meir says that this is not a mechitza kshera. And the reason is because, according to Rabbi Meir, you need some sort of permanence as a dofen, a sukkah. An animal is here for a moment and then runs away. You can't rely on the animal that the animal will be there for more than a minute. And Rabbi Yehuda Masha, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, right now the animal is there, maybe we'll tie him down, he's there, and he can serve as a machitza to replace the dofen that fell. So now we can answer this stira that we have between the two brises. Rabbi Meir de Kapasil Hasam, Rabbi Meir says that an animal cannot serve as a kosher dofen asukkah, to be machshir the sukkah, amalav machitzahi. By setting up this behemah, he has not created a machitza. And therefore, hachashari, in the case of Shabbos, if he sets up his animal to replace the dofen of the sukkah on Shabbos, it's mutter, because it's not, he hasn't accomplished anything. He has not created a machitza, because the animal does not have a toras machitza. Lav midi kovit. And if he didn't create a machitza that's reliable, that is halachically valid, then he didn't create an oil on Shabbos, and therefore he's allowed to do it. Again, you might ask, why would he be motivated to do it if at the end of the day it's not going to be kosher? Rabbi Yehuda de kamachshir hasam al mechitzahi. Rabbi Yehuda that says that if you set up an animal as a dofen to replace the dofen that fell, the sukkah is a sukkah kshera, you've now created a mechitza. Is Hacha Asar on Shabbos? He's going to say that it's Asar on Shabbos. If that be the case, we can now reconcile the two brises. We had one brisa that says you're not allowed to set up a behema as a replacement dofen of a sukkah on Shabbos. That reflects the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, who validates an animal as a dofen, a sukkah. Therefore, he's created a machitza by setting up this animal to replace the dofen that fell. He's being machshir his sukkah with that animal, because that animal has a toras mechitza. Hence, you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos, because you're creating a mechitza on Shabbos. On the other hand, Rabbi Meir, who holds that setting up an animal as a replacement for a dofen of a sukkah does not validate the sukkah, it remains a sukkah psula. It means that according to Rabbi Meir, an animal cannot serve and cannot be validated as a toras mechitza. If that be the case on Shabbos, he's not creating a mechitza. So Gemara asks the following kasha, v'tizbra, are you really convinced that this is the way of reconciling the two brisos? Emer deshamet leila Rabbi Meir behema. Rabbi Meir only made his statement invalidating an animal to replace a dofen to be machshir sukkah. An animal is here this minute and gone the next minute, and you can't rely on an animal. But the brisa that we're talking about mentions not only an animal as a replacement for a dofen asuk, but it mentions Adam Mikhailim Mishamet Le. We never heard from Rabbi Meir that a human being who can make an intellectual decision that he wants to remain stationary in order to be Machshir the Sukkah, and certainly Kalim, which are inanimate objects, are stationary, then that would be the creation of a valid mechitza, even according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir only invalidates the mechitza in a behemoth, but not in the case of Adam Mikhailim. So then, in the case of Shabbos, how do we justify the brisa, the second brisa, that was matir, not only replacing a sukkah on Shabbos, a dofen sukkah, with a behema, but even with Adam Mikhailim, visu, and furthermore, I still want to ask you another kasha. Even if I'm going to tell you that according to Rabbi Meir, you cannot fix up a sukkah and make it royal mitzvasa, a behemoth's psul, a dofen sukkah, but Rabbi Meir, let's ask the following question. Rabbi Meir is matir to create an ol aroy, b'tchila b'shabbos. If it's not a mechitza, is aliba deman. Rabbi Meir doesn't fit into anyone. We had a machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbanon, and Rabbi Eliezer was told us that even lahosif, in the case of pokekim b'chalon, is nami asur. Elo aliba drabbanon diamri, diemer diamri rabbanon lahosif, but lechatchila mi omer. Even the rabbanon agreed that you're not allowed to create an ol aroy from scratch if there was no pre-existing oil. So that, what are you going to tell me? You're going to tell me that Rabbi Meir is the author of the brisa that permits you on Shabbos or on Yontif to replace a sukkah dofen with an animal, with a human being, with kelim. There he's creating a brand new mechitza. And if he's creating a brand new mechitza, then how could Rabbi Meir, assuming that we attribute the authorship of that second brisa to Rabbi Meir, how could he permit creating a new machitza? There's no Tana in the world who allows you to create a new machitza, even if it's Aroi on Shabbos or Yontif. Ela Hava HaRabbanan. Both brises hold like the Rabbanan, who are matir, adding to an Oel Aroi on Shabbos. Kalim HaKalim Lokasha Ha Dofen Shlishis Ha Bidofen Revius. You're asking me a contradiction between these two brisos? Are you allowed to set up the Kalim on Shabbos to replace the Dofen of the Sukkah that fell? And the answer is that the brisa that says it's prohibited, that's talking about the Dofen Shlishis, which means that right now he started with two, let's say like this. He started with three defanos, which is sufficient for Heksher Sukkah. One of the defanos fell down. And now, what he's doing is, he is adding Kalim to replace the Dofen that fell. And in doing so, he is creating a Sukkah Kshera. Why? Because you need at least a minimum of three defanos for a Sukkah Kshera. And that means that brisa prohibits it on Shabbos or Yontif because he's creating an Ol Aroi that didn't exist. It didn't have a Shem Sukkah. It now has a Shem Sukkah as a result of the fact that these Kalim replace that third Dofen. That's prohibited on Shabbos. Because the Hechsher Sukkah means that he's creating an Ol. Hab Dofen Revius, but the other brisa that allows you to set up a Kalim Mechitza to replace a Dofen that fell, that's because we're up to the fourth Dofen. So the Sukkah already is, it's a Sukkah Kshera based on the three Defanos. And therefore, in this case, he's only being Mosif to an Oel Aroi. In other words, the Oel is there because it has a Shem Sukkah as a result of three Defanos. When he adds the fourth Defanos, Dofen, by creating this Kalim Dika replacement Dofen, he's only being Mosif on an Oel. And we're going to accept the Rabbanon, who hold that on Shabbos you're allowed to be Mosif on an Ol Aroi. Deka Nami, the Mishnah also seems to indicate that we're talking here about the third Dofen. Dekatani, the Brisa says, Nafal Dofna, it's Dofen, and you're not allowed to replace it with Kalim or Behem. From the word Dofna, it sounds like he's talking about the Dofen that the Sukkah really needs, the critical Dofen in order to be Machshir the Sukkah, which means the third Dofen, Shmamino. But now, Elo Odom Odom Kasha. We're now on Daf Mem Dalet Omid Beis. We still have a steer in the two brises with regard to Odom. One brisa says that you're allowed to set up human beings as, or a human being, as a replacement for the Dofen Asukkah that fell. And the other brisa prohibits it. How do we reconcile these two brisos? Now again, at this point the Gemara holds that the old answer of distinguishing between Dofen Shlishis and Dofen Revius is not applicable. And why is that so? Kamola Gabi Mito Lefisha Dafka Shom Nita Lomisha Brisa Matira Osekes Bidofen Revius Shane and Itzrechas Lecture Sukkah Shane Nemaba Viskofes Amita Viyfrosoles Sudden Kadeshlo Tipol Chamala Mes Viala Ochlin. So it sounds like his purpose and his agenda is not to be Masha the Sukkah, but just to protect the corpse from decomposing or the food from spoiling. In the case of setting up a person as a human being, as a Torah's mechitza, as a Torah's dofen, it says osa other es chavero dofen kidei sheyochal v'yishta v'yishan, in order that he should be able to eat, drink, and sleep in the sukkah. So it means he needs that mechitza, that dofen, in order to be machshir his sukkah, so that he can eat and drink and sleep in the sukkah. We must be talking about dofen shlishis. So therefore, we're stuck with the stira, the contradiction between the two brisos. And the Gemara answers, Adam Adam Nami Lokasha. Kan Ladas, Kan Shaloladas. This is a major breakthrough in the Sugya. The Gemara wants to say that when you create a human mechitza on Shabbos, the issue at stake is whether or not the person, the human being, is aware of the fact that he's being set up in a certain location in order to serve as a mechitza, as a human mechitza. If he's aware of it, then he is in effect actively creating this mechitza, and he's being mashu the sukkah so that it means it's a creation of an ol aroy. There's no pre-existing ol aroy if we're talking about the third dofen, kadesha lechol v'lishtos v'lishon ba. But the brice that allows you is shalomi das. You don't tell these people why they've been stationed in such a way. You know, you tell them a story. We went out there because we want to be malava. We want to give a personal escort to Nehemiah with the entourage. But you don't notify them that they are in fact serving as a mechitza. Therefore, since the creation of mechitza is through these human beings who are totally unaware, we're going to allow this for the sake of creating a sukkah kshira. So the Gemara asks, "V'had Rabbi Nehemiah b'Reid Rabbi Chaniloi l'dasava." After all, you remember that Rav Chisda asked Rav Nachman, "What can we do on behalf of your Talmud?" And he stuck outside of the Tchum of Shabbos, and Rav Nachman instructed them to create a human mechitza. So obviously, they were aware of the mechitza. So my answer is Shalom Midas Hava. Basically, what Rav Nachman ruled to Rav Chisda is to gather together these people to serve as a mechitza, but don't tell them that they're serving as a mechitza. It should be shalom midas. So the Gemara asked Rav Chisda Miola Das Hava. He was one of the entourage that surrounded Nehemiah, and he was the one who got the answer from Rav Nachman to create this posse. So obviously he was aware of the fact that he's creating a mechitza, and the Gemara answers Rav Chisda Shalom Mina Minyan Hava. Rav Chisda was not one of the people who in fact surrounded Rav Nehemiah. He was only the one who instructed the other people and engineered it that they would surround Nehemiah. Hanu b'nei g'nona, the Gemara brings a couple of stories that seem to indicate that you're not allowed to create a human mechitza on Shabbos unless it's shalom midas. So we're talking about b'nei g'nona. B'nei g'nona means that in the old days when a woman got married to a man and they stood under the chuppah, afterwards, for the period of 7 days, they had an entourage, they had a whole group of people that would accompany them, those who were called the Bnei Achupa, otherwise known as the Shushvina, and they were really the close friends of the Chos and the Kala. And the story happened, the Ailu Maya, and they went into water on Shabbos, Betoch Mechitza Shel Bnei Adam. In other words, they were sort of stuck in a mechitza, and it was an issue of going from Rishus Arabim to Rishus Hayochid, and there was a human mechitza. So the human mechitza was apparently set up in order to facilitate these B'nai Chup to get out of this Rishus Hayochid, out into Rishus Arabim. They were stuck in a Rishus Hayochid. And Nagdinu Shmuel, and Shmuel gave them what we call makas mardus, meaning that by setting up this human mechitza, they had violated the iser of creating a mechitza aroy on Shabbos. Amar, and he said, im amru shalomidas yomru ledas, if the Chachamim allowed you to create a mechitza of Bnei Adam on Shabbos, that's only shalomidas. But here, they were instructed specifically to surround the Bnei Achupa in order to create a mechitza. And that's called Midas, and therefore he gave them Malchus Mardus. They had violated these. Another story. Hanu Zike. Here's a story about Rava who owned Zike. Zike are kind of caskets of water. And they were made of actually of skin, of animal skin. Davi Shadyan Beristika Dimachosa. They were thrown out on the streets of the city of Machosa, which was of Shusarab. Therefore, you're not allowed to take them into a Shus HaYochid, but yet they were unprotected. They could get stolen. Is Bahari de Osa Rava Mipirke? Rava was unaware of the fact he was on his way back from his drasha that he gave on Shabbos. And he didn't know that Alinu Nile, that the Shamish, the second in command, actually carried these Kalim from a Rishus HaRabim into a Shus HaYochid in order to protect them. These nodos, these casks, these drinking receptacles. And how did the Shamash get away with such a thing? How was he able to transfer something from Rishus HaYochid from Rishus HaRab into Rishus HaYochid? And the answer is he created a human mechitza. Rava gets wind of this. And L'Shab Sachrina Boy Alinu, he realizes in the next Shabbos that again the same story occurred, and that the Shamash is trying to organize this group of people to create a mechitza so that they can carry the nodos from Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYochid, the Osaluhu. And Rava said that it's prohibited. And he stopped him. The first time around, he didn't know about it. The Havile Kiladas V'Asur. Because when the Shamash called over these people in order to surround these nodos, in order to take them in and create a mechitza around them, they knew about it. And if they knew about it, that is prohibited. And the Gemara tells us similar stories about Levi and about Rav Shimi. Levi Ayilu Leitivna. In the case of Levi, he had straw that was out there in Rishus HaRabim. They took it into Rishus HaYochid, and they created a mechitza b'nei Adam to do so. But again, they were unaware of the fact that they were serving as a mechitza. Ziri, they did the same thing for Ziri Aspasta when he had left some grains out there in the fields. And Rav Shimi Bar Chiya Maya. There was a need for water, and the water was stuck out there in Rishus HaRabim. And again, without notifying the people that they were serving as a mechitza, he gathered them together, and they were able to carry this water back into Rishus HaYoch. And now we're up to the Mishnah here on the middle of Daf Mem Dalet Amid Beis. This Mishnah addresses the case of a person who left the Tchum Shabbos, but he did so not by violating deliberately the Isur of Tchum, of Yitzia Chutz L'Tchum, but rather he was instructed by the Chachamim for a certain very, very important purpose to go outside the Tchum. Then he got stuck outside the Tchum. Mishi Yotze Bershus. So the Mefarshim explain, why did the Rabbanim give a person the okay to leave the Tchum Shabbos? And there are a couple of answers and possibilities. One is for Eidus on Kiddush Levana. It was very critical for the Bez Nagadol to get testimony on the Levana B'chidusha, to make sure that we have testimony that they saw the new moon. And in order to see the new moon, they would have to leave the Tchum Shabbos on the night of Friday night in order to go to a place from which they had a vision of they could see the new moon. Or, alternatively, Dini Pikuach Nefesh. He was a physician, and there was a direly ill person, and the Rabbanan sent him to the next town over, which was more than Alpayim Amah outside of this town, to go Chutz L'Tchum, in order to save the life of a human being. So he did everything behet. But Amru Lo, while he was on the way, either to get the position to be Mekadesh L'Si, the Levana B'chidusha, or to deal and administer medical aid to a person who was sick, he was notified, Kfar Nasa Maisa, that we have another pair of Eidim, or we have another doctor, physician, or the patient is doing well. And now, he's stuck outside of the Tchum Shabbos. But again, he had every legal right, according to Halach, in the world to go out there. So the Mishnah Paskins, Yesh Alpayim Amal Chol Ruach. In that place that he finds out that they don't need him anymore, he's now Konish Visa in that place, and we're going to allow him to walk 2,000 Amma in every direction. Now, normally, when a person leaves his tchum, he's limited to a circumference, a radius, I should say, of 4 amos. But here, Chachamu and Mekil, because since they wanted to make it attractive and remove any hesitations or inhibitions to go out chutz l'tchum, because they needed badly that this fellow should go out chutz l'tchum, so to make it easier, they said to him, you know what? If, in the worst case scenario, we don't need you, we're still going to allow you a tchum of alpayim amah in each direction. That's how they encouraged these people to go chutz l'tchum when it was absolutely necessary to do so. The Mishnah continues, v'mahaya b'toch ha'tchum ki'ilu lo yotza. And if he finds out while he was still within the tchum, then it's as if he didn't go out chutz l'tchum. And the Gemara is going to discuss what that means. There are going to be two opinions how to interpret this, as we'll soon see. The Mishnah finally concludes and says, "Kol ayotzim lahatzil chozrim limkoman." Anyone who leaves the chutz l'tchum in order to save human life, he's allowed to go back to his original makom on Shabbos. And the Gemara later on, not the sugya that we'll see today, is going to explain and analyze this last piece in the Mishnah. Our focus now is on this next to the last case, the middle case in the Mishnah. What does it mean? Hayadayin b'toch ha'tchum ki'il lo yotza. My im haya b'toch ha'tchum. What does this mean? Ki'il lo yotza. He's still inside the tchum when he gets the word that they don't need him anymore. It's as if he didn't leave the tchum. And keep in mind that the language of the Mishnah is very difficult because it says im haya b'toch ha'tchum, that he's still within the tchum. So why do you tell me ki'ilu lo yotza? It's as if he didn't leave the tchum. He is actually in the tchum. So what's the ki'ilu lo yotza? It's as if he didn't leave the tchum. So here we have machlokes shin Rabba and Rav Shimi. So let's start with Rabba. Omar Rabba, hachi kamar. This is how we have to interpret the Mishnah. Im haya b'toch tchum shalo. Now tchum shalo means 2,000 amos around his house. That's called tchum shalo. Is then ki'il lo yotza mitoch beso domi. So what does this mean? Ki'il lo yotza mitoch beso domi. In other words, the Mishnah is telling us, well, you know, you could have said that the Mishnah is telling us that we're going to make it as if he didn't leave the tchum, but that's very difficult because he's in the tchum. But what it means is not ki'ilu lo yotza mitchumo, because he's still within the tchum, but rather ki'ilu lo yotza mitoch beso. Those are the two words that we have to add to the Mishnah according to Rabba. So let's give a scenario. Let's say he left his house 1,000 amma. Now, you would have said that if he leaves his house 1,000 amma, and then he finds out that they don't need him anymore, he was konesh visa at that point, at that location, we'll call it X. And if that location is 1,000 amma away from his home, he's got only 1,000 amma to get to the outskirts of his tchum. And that's as far as he can go. No. The Mishnah is telling me that ki'ilo yotzami beso. We're going to allow him to go back to his house, and we consider it as if he was kona shvisa in his house, as if he never left his house. And what that means is now he's going to be allowed to go 2,000 amas from his house in every single direction. So again, in the Hava meaning, we would have said, well, he already left his house 1,000 amas, and now he finds out they don't need him anymore, and now he's 1,000 amas out of his house. He's allowed 2,000 amas, you know, in that direction. That's where he's kona shvisa. But he doesn't have the 2,000 amma from his house. So what he's going to lose is, although again, from that point, he's going to get, let's say he's on the east, we'll call it, right? So he's going to gain another extra 1,000 amma on the east. But on the other hand, if he wants to go north or south, he's going to be much more limited. If we allow him to go back to his house, he's going to get a full 2,000 amma north and south. The Gemara says, Pshita. Why would I think otherwise? And the Gemara answers, Ma'al detema, I would have thought, Ho'el v'okar, okar, since he left his house. And his intention was to leave the entire tchum, because the Chacham told him to go to the next city over beyond the tchum. So I might think that he's kona shvisa, a brand new shvisa. forget about his house. That point in time, when he finds out that they don't need him anymore, he's going to be Kona Shvisa at that point. And now he's going to get 2,000 Amo from that point, from that location where he finds out. No, Kamashmal and the Mishnah is telling me not like that. That since he's still within the Tchum of his house, then it's considered that he was Kona Shvisa in his house. And we completely negate the Kinyan Shvisa 1,000 Amo away from his house. That's null and void. He was Kona Shvisa in his house. Why? Because he's still within the Tchum, the 2,000 Amo of his house. That's according to Rabbi. Rav Shimi Bar Chiya Amar, he has a different shot. Hachi Kamar. This is what the Mishnah has in mind. Im Hayu Tchumin Shenasnu lo chachomim uvloim b'toch ha-tchum shalo, harei ke'ilu lo yotza mitchumo. So now you want to put the emphasis here on the word muvloim. In Rav Shimi's explanation of our Mishnah. And it says, im hayu tchumin, now we have a brand new tchum. And this is the tchum that the Chachamim gave him. And now we have to add the word muvloim. Muvloim means that the new tchum is within the 2,000 amah radius from his house, from his original tchum. So that the new tchum overlaps, that's the word muvloim, with the old tchum. So let's give the following example. Let's say that he left the city based on the instruction, the mandate of the Chachamim, 3,000 Amah. And that's where he found out that they don't need him anymore. We're going to set up a brand new Tchum from that point based on the fulfillment of the following conditions, says Rav Shimi, because since he's 3,000 Amah away from the city, so that means he has not left 4,000 Amah. So he's got an overlap of the Tchum, the original Tchum, because the original Tchum allows him to go 2,000 Amah beyond the city limits. He only walked 1,000 Amah beyond the city limits. So if we give him and grant him a new Tchum, then that Tchum overlaps with his old Tchum. Why? Because the new Tchum at 3,000 Amah allows him 2,000 Amah in each direction, and when he walks 1,000 Amah towards the city, he's within the 2,000 Amah around the city. That's called Muvloim. And basically what Rav Shimi is saying is that the Mishnah is going to give him the great advantage of two different Tchumim, or shall we say two different Kinyan Shvisa. He's Kona Shvisa in his new place, and the Chacham are going to grant him a new Kinyan Shvisa. That's 3,000 Amah away from the city, and we're going to allow him to go another 2,000 Amah from there. That's 5,000 Amah away from the city. But at the same time, Muvloim, since he's still within his own tchum, he can now go back to his house and enjoy the benefit of the tchum around his house, of 2,000 amah in each direction. So he gets the best of both worlds. B'maika miflugi, what's the machlokus between Rabba and Rav Shimi? Mar savar, according to Rav Shimi, have lost tchum in milsahi. In other words, when there's an overlap of two tchumin, then it's considered as if they're one tchum. And the halacha recognizes and validates the legal halachic significance of muvloim. And therefore, if the new tchum that the chachamim are giving to him is muvla, it overlaps with the original tchum, then on the one hand, we're going to give him the new tchum, and on the other hand, it's as if he never left the first tchum. And he can go back to his house. And the reason for that is because the Chacham recognized the concept of muvloim. So when you have two possible tchumim, but they overlap, we view them as one extended tchum. That's according to Rav Shimi. Umar Sava, but Rabbah holds lav milsi. We're not going to define a tchum by muvloim. And therefore, we cannot accept Rav Shimi's explanation that the Mishnah is talking about a case where he already left his tchum. Because if he left his tchum, then he loses his first tchum. It's completely gone, null and void. Even though the second tchum that we want to offer him is muvla. No. Once he leaves the tchum, he can no longer go back to his house. Can you really deny the legal validity of Havlas Tchumin? I'm going to prove to you that there's such a concept called Havlas Tchumin. And this is from the case of a Ma'ara. A Ma'ara is a cave, and a cave could be very, very long. I mean, if you go up to Tzfat, you know, where they have the old cemetery in Tzfat, you'll go into caves, but they're not very, very long. Maybe there are 100 amas, 200 amas, but there's such a thing as a very long underground cave that's 2,000 amas from one to the other. There are two entrance ways on both sides. You can enter into this underground cave from here on the west and walk 2,000 amma underneath the ground and end up and go out on the other side, 2,000 amas away on the east. And we're talking about Shavas B'Ma'ara. So he begins his Shabbos down in the cave. Shebesocha arbaas alafim. Oh. Now, how long is this cave? So I told you it was 2,000 amma. Well, yes and no. The cave has a roof to it. The roof is obviously, you're standing on the roof, you're under the sky. You're not subterranean. And the roof, in this particular case, is not as long as the cave below it. So the cave below it is a full 4,000 amma long, from west to east. You go through this entrance, you exit on the other side, 4,000 amma later. Arba salof. Val gaga, but the gag itself, on top of this cave, is pachos mi arba salofim amma. In other words, somehow this cave has like a slope to it, and at a certain point, you end up in the middle of the cave, so to speak, meaning before the end of the cave, you end up on the gag. I mean, you don't have to end up on the gag, but that's where the gag stops. So keep in mind that the gag is muvla betol chatchum, meaning you have a tchum now of 4,000 amma subterranean inside the ma'ara from one entrance to the other. And now as far as the tchum of the gag is concerned, there's a certain overlap, a certain percentage of the gag that covers the ma'ara, but not all of it. And chutzal al payim amma. When he passes the gag, he walks on the gag, we're going to give him a 2,000 amma tchum in every direction. And the reason for this is because of the halacha of muvloim. Now I have in my mesifta a diagram. Let me first read to you the subtitles under the diagram, and then I'll try to describe the diagram to you. He says the following: Ma'ara zu, this cave, shnei psachim yeshla b'shnei k'tzofer. So there are two openings on the two extremities of this cave. Echel mizrach, echel marav. Adam kone shvisa b'tocha marav ma'ama'ara. He accepted Shabbos when he was inside the Mara, and we're going to allow him on Shabbos to walk through the entire halal, the airspace, inside the Mara from one end to the other. The chain, and furthermore, Rashai hu leitze b'chol echad min ha-psochim shiyirtze, he could choose whichever Pesach on Shabbos he wants to go out of, and then he gets another 2,000 amma from there. Although the inner subterranean width is more than 4,000 amma, but on top the gag is less than 4,000 amo. Nimtza shetchum alpayim amo sheyesh lo min haPesach haMizrach shel Amor litzad Marov. We're going to give him a tchum of 2,000 amo from the eastern exit or entrance of this cave, and shetchum alpayim amo sheyesh lo min haPesach haMizrach shomer litzad Marov. Meaning, if he were to turn around and go back towards the west, he's muvla b'toch alpayim amo sheyesh lo min haPesach haMaravi litzad Mizrach. So the diagram has it like this, that he was Kona Shvisa inside this Ma'ara. There's a Pesach on the eastern side and a Pesach on the western side. Now, what he has is a 2,000 amma, let's say a 2,000 amma extension, right, a tchum on the eastern side, meaning from the Pesach HaMizrachi, and a 2,000 amma from the Pesach Maravi. Now, if you're talking about the 4,000 amma from one Pesach to the other, subterranean in the cave, then if you go above the cave, to the gag, to the roof of the cave, what you'll see is that if you draw an arrow 2,000 amma from the eastern side, it will overlap with the 2,000 amma from the western side. So again, even though the gag is more narrow than the cave below it, but nevertheless there's a certain overlap of the tchum, because he's allowed, again, the entire length of the cave, which is 4,000 amma plus, right? And you can see on the gag that there is, if he has 2,000 amma in each direction, there's going to be a certain part of the gag which has an overlap of the 2,000 amma on one side and the 2,000 amma on the other side, if we calculate it from the Pesach HaMizrachi to the Pesach Maravi. And therefore, Rashayu Lelech Eskol Gaga Shalom Arke Echad, and he's allowed to go through the entire Gag. And we see here that we're operating with the concept called Muvlaim, Tchumim Muvlaim. And we're going to view it as if it's one Tchum. So Rabbi says to Abaye, Lo Shani Lach? Don't you see the distinction between my case and your case? Bein Heicha Deshavas Bi Avir Mechitzos Mibodyo. In the first case of the cave, he set up his Shvisa within the Mechitzos of the cave. Leheicha, but in my case, the Lo Shavas Bi Avir Mechitzos Mibodyo. In other words, I'm moded to you in the case of the Ma'ara, because both tchum and muvloim zebazeh can be considered one tchum, and that I don't disagree with. But that's only because he was shoves, he was konesh visa, in avir amachitzas, inside the ma'ara. That's where he accepted the onset of Shabbos. So he was konesh visa on both exits, the right and the left, the Mizrach and the Marav. But I'm talking about our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about a person who left the Tchum of Shabbos Birshus Chachamim. He was not Shoves within the Avir of Mechitzas HaTchum HaSheni, right? He got sent 3,000 Amma, I mean more than that, but he found himself 3,000 Amma outside under the sky, and therefore he cannot be Kona to Tchumim Kiechot. So therefore, the moment that he was Kona Shvisa in a different place, he loses his first Kinyan Shvisa. And therefore, he's only to get 2,000 Amma from the place where he's standing when he finds out that they don't need him anymore. So even if the Tchum of his Shvisa, of his second Shvisa, is Muvla, it overlaps with the Tchum of his original Shvisa, nevertheless, he can't go back to his house because he was kind of brand new shvisa. So Abaye again asks the kashon Rabbah, v'heichad lo shavas lo, is it really so that in a case where a person wasn't shoves from the beginning, in the aver of mechitzos, then we're going to reject the concept of havlas tchumim? And here we turn to Memheyom and Aleph. V'atnan, we have a Mishnah later on in Daf Nun Beis, with regard to a person who deliberately left the tchum of Shabbos, according to Chachamim, even if he left the tchum by one single amma, in other words, he went 2,001 amma, he's not allowed to go back into his tchum. But Rabbi Eliezer Omer, he disagrees. Shtayim, will give him a grace of 2 amos, yikonis. So if he's within 2,002 amos, he's allowed to go back into the tchum. Yotza Shalosh, but if he left more than 2,000 amos, 3 amos, lo yikonis, he's not allowed to go back in. And now the Gemara wants to analyze Rabbi Eliezer. Why does Rabbi Eliezer choose to give him an extra 2 amos? My love, shouldn't it be the following? Rabbi Eliezer Litaime. Rabbi Eliezer is based on a chumrah, and here he gets a kula, but he's consistent with a chumrah. And that's based on a Mishnah that's going to come up very soon. In a case where the Chachamim tell a person who walked out of the tchum that he's stuck within 4 amos, is how do we define the 4 amos? According to the Chachamim before Rabbi Eliezer, we say that where he is, that point, that location, we're going to give him 4 amos in each direction. Comes along Rabbi Eliezer with a chumrah and he says, v'hu be'emtza'on, which means the following, that this person who left the tchum, again deliberately, it's as if he is standing within a square that's 4 amos in each direction. And we're only going to allow him to go 2 amos in each direction. And therefore, according to the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, Arba Amos the Yoivi Larbonin Kiman to Mivlaim Dami. These 2 Amos are Muvlaim, because since we give him a Tchum of 2 Amos, so therefore, when he left 2,002 Amos from his house, he's now still within his original Tchum, because when a person leaves his Tchum, we give him 2 Amos according to Rabbi Eliezer in each direction, because he's by Emtzayim. Uka Amar Yikanes. And yet, Rabbi Eliezer says, despite the fact that he's 2,000 plus 2 amos outside of his house, meaning he's an additional 2 amos outside, but we're going to view those 2 amos as Muvloim, because we're going to give him, in any event, 4 amos in each direction, which means, according to Rabbi Eliezer, 2 amos, is Alma we see, I've lost Chubim Milsahi. That Havlas Tchumen is recognized by the Halacha. Amalei Rabbi Bar Chanana Chana Le'Abaye Umid Rabbi Eliezer Kavosif Le'Lamar. You're asking me a kasha based on Rabbi Eliezer. What kind of kasha is that? The Chachamim rejected it, and they hold that even if he left the Tchum by 1 Amma, he's not allowed to go back to his original Tchum. They don't accept the Shita, this principle of Havlas Tchumen. So the Gemara answers, Amar Lei Abaye in. I still have a kash on Rabbi Eliezer. Why? Dishmiel le mine demar. Because I heard from Rabbah that Ad kan lo pligi Rabbanan alei de Rabbi Eliezer ela lidvar reshus. When did the Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Eliezer? They held that as soon as he steps out of his tchum, he's stuck. And they're not going to apply the principle of Muvloim. That's because he had no pressing need to leave his tchum. He didn't go out there for a dvar mitzvah. Rather, he went out for a dvar mishus. Aval the dvar mitzvah module. The Chachamim would concede to Rabbi Eliezer and accept the principle of tchumim muvloim in a case where he went out with dvar mitzvah. Since our Mishnah is talking about a case where he went out with dvar mitzvah, as we said, the 2 examples, even for Eidus L'Kiddush HaChodesh, or to save a human life, in that case, even the Chacham will agree that we give him what's called tchumim muvloim, and we're going to give him these 2 extra amos, and he's allowed to go back into the tchum. Okay, Rabbi Osei, this is where we're going to stop for today. So let's just make a note, we're on Daf Mem Heyom and Aleph. And we're up to the two dots, which is approximately, I would say, about 10 lines down from the top of Daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph. So let me wish you all a wonderful day, and thank you so much.
Let me know if you think we need the lights on.